Brett McKay here, and welcome to another edition of the Art of Manliness podcast. When it comes to getting in shape, there are always a bunch of excuses to use as why you can't get yourself in gear. You don't know what program to start, you don't have any time, you don't have any equipment, et cetera, et cetera. My guest today cuts through those excuses and the unnecessary complications people often bring to health and fitness to show us how you can lose weight and get strong in ways that are wonderfully simple but powerfully effective. His name is Dan John. He's a strength and throwing sports coach, a writer of many books and articles on health and fitness, and a college lecturer. We begin our conversation with Dan's two foundational approaches to simplifying your life called Shark Habits and Pirate Maps, which help you organize and streamline all your decisions, in turn helping you focus on and stay consistent with your diet and workouts. We also talk about the way being part of an intentional community can help you keep on track with your fitness goals. From there, we get into Dan's quadrants for eating and exercise. There's reasonable workouts, tough diet, reasonable workouts, reasonable diet, tough workouts, reasonable diet, tough workouts, tough diet, and when you should be in one quadrant or the other. We then talk about a very simple way to get started with lifting called the 1-2-3 method, Dan's highly effective 10,000 swing kettlebell challenge, and how you can still work out even if all you have is a single dumbbell. We also talk about one of the most effective bodyweight exercises, the pull-up, and the overlooked key to working your way into them if you can't do a single rep right now. We then talk about why Dan thinks you should exercise outside more often and the difference between health and fitness, and we end our conversation with Dan's prescription for losing weight. After the show's over, check out our show notes at aom.is/simplestrength. All right, Dan John, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's an honor, Brett. I don't know if you know this, but I've been a big fan of the site for a long time. And we have a Catholic high school here in Salt Lake City called Juan Diego Catholic High School. And the principal is actually using a lot of your work to work with the young men. And I think that's something you should be lauded for, because the materials, some of the stuff, I'm like, you know, how to use an axe and stuff like that. That's great. But it's some of the other stuff that's on your site that kind of has real value and meaning to this generation. A lot of important steps are being skipped in our education process. And I think you ought to know that people are listening and using your material to make a difference.
Well, thanks for letting me know. That's always great to hear, especially when schools are using the information. I've also, like, prisons use the information for stuff. And so that's always great to hear when that's going on. I like that. It's why we do what we do.
Yeah, the guys over at Alcatraz were really interested in how to build a raft. And
that didn't work out for them. No. That didn't work out for them. Maybe they escaped. We don't know. All right. Well, you're a strength and conditioning coach. We've had you on. You were on 3 years ago, almost to the day, and wanted to bring you back because I've been seeing some of the stuff you've been writing about, you know, maybe a decade ago, making its way. It's circulating again. It's coming viral again, some of the workouts you've developed over the years. And I thought it'd be fun just to bring you back on, talk about some of the stuff, but also just dig deep into physical fitness, strength and conditioning, sure, and just how to improve our performance. So let's start off with this. Yeah. As a coach, one of your biggest challenges, I would think, maybe I'm wrong, but one of the big challenges of a coach is helping your athletes stay consistent with their programming or their training. And I know a lot of people, that's the big challenge when they start off on a fitness program. They get going, but then they fall off the wagon. They get going, they fall off the wagon. So in your experience, I mean, you've been doing this for decades. I mean, what are your best tips for being consistent with an exercise program?
Well, see, I think, if you don't mind, I think you just walked into a much bigger thing than you think. I just wrote a book called Attempts, and I like the book. And the first part is about some of my new discoveries about goal setting. And I'm going to tell you an odd thing. When I was an administrator back in 1996, I found this list in this little, it was, you know, those, they don't make them anymore, but there was this, it was a thing called a magazine. That's going to scare some of your listeners. And in this magazine, it had these three rules of success: show up, don't quit, ask questions. And I just, that became my motto. I mean, that, and so it's number one is to show up. But let's see, that I say that and people are going, yeah, show up, I'm with you. But that, I just wasted everybody's time, because what you need is an actual other toolkit. And if you don't mind, can I kind of go off for a few seconds about how I do it?
Do it.
So I've got two basic tools I use. The first is called Shark Habits. And Shark Habits comes from my good friend, Rob Wolf, who is the paleo guy, the paleo nutrition guy. In fact, Rob was my second email that I ever sent, which will tell you how amazing that is to say out loud. Shark Habits is this: one bite and it's gone. So let's just go to the basics. Brett, you call me up and say, Dan, will you come to my wedding? To me, that's a binary decision. I look at my calendar, yes or no. So that's, to me, a shark habit is yes. If I am going to go, I RSVP, I go to online, I buy the gift that you registered for, and then I show up. You got that? I wear, it's kind of a joke, but it's true. I bought 16 of the exact same black polo shirt because all they had in North America was the 16 in my size. So I got all 16 of these shirts, and that's what I wear. So I never think about what I'm going to wear because it's a shark habit. I decided black polos look nice to me. That's what I'm going to wear. So that's what shark habits are. And they can become a little bit more elegant too. For example, I'm a big believer that as a family, you should have a menu. I mean, when my daughters were young, it was steak and salad on Monday. Tuesdays was what my wife would make, what we called Viking enchilada. On Wednesdays, I made what I called Irish jambalaya. And four was breakfast for dinner. That's good enough for you. But we also had a chores chart. And we did white laundry on Monday nights, dark laundry on Tuesday nights, and Wednesday was clean the bathrooms. Now, you're gonna have people say, well, how does that help you? Well, if on a Saturday I walked past the bin of white laundry and I saw it was full, you know what my reaction was? That's a Monday chore, not a Saturday chore. And I was able to dismiss it out of my head. And when you go shopping, you have a shopping list that ties into the menu. When my daughters got a little bit older, I even moved to a breakfast menu that we would do. I don't know if you know what these are, but bird's nest or pired eyes. That's where you cut out a hole in the middle of a piece of bread and you put the egg in it. Everyone knows what it is, but you know, that might have been a Wednesday breakfast. Monday breakfast might have been protein enriched oatmeal. You got that?
Got it.
So what it does, what shark habits do, is it frees your mind up. Anything that's a kind of a binary decision. I mean, seriously, I hate to say this, but what's for dinner is kind of a very small end decision. Most families probably have, boy, I'm going to say 10, but honestly, it's probably less, list of meals that they actually eat, and you can make nutritionists, you know, you're adding more vegetables and all that. So why not just make it a policy? Monday is what, this is what we eat. And then when we go shopping, we buy the ingredients for what we're going to eat on Monday. So shark habits is number one. Now, number two comes from Pat Flynn. In fact, Pat is coming out this week with a whole bunch of these, something we call pirate maps. Now, this is important for athletes and anybody who has a goal. So just stick with me for a second. Pirate map. Go to St. John's Island, find the white coconut tree, take 7 paces to the west, dig down. That's pretty simple, right? Let me give you my pirate map. Every night before I go to bed, I make my to-do list. In fact, Brett, your name is on my to-do list from last night. I have you at 1 o'clock. And then I make coffee because I wake up to the smell of coffee. And then the first thing I do in the morning is I try to be grateful for something. If I can't be grateful, it kind of indicates I didn't sleep well. Every day I take a short meditation. I use an app called One Moment Meditation, or I do the longer one with brain.fms. Every day I strive to eat 8 to 14 different vegetables. And then the final pirate map is, every day I do some mobility work called original strength, and then 5 days a week I lift weights and walk. If I do those 5 things every day, and by the way, that's taped on my computer, on the top of my computer, and it's also in my journal. If I do those 5 steps every day, statistically, there's a good chance I'll dance at my granddaughter Josephine's wedding. I'm 63, she's 6. People in my family don't live long. So this is the toolkits that I use. Now, so you say, well, how does that relate to performance? Coach Mon told me back when I first met him in fall of 1977, the secret to being a good discus thrower, lift weights 3 days a week, throw the discus 4 days a week for the next 8 years. Now, Brett, for the record, everybody misses that last part where it said 8 years. But if I just say, okay, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm going to throw the discus. Okay. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm going to lift weights. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, I'm going to throw the discus. If I just stick to that simple template, all my dreams come true. If I get a good night's sleep, I eat my vegetables, I eat my protein, drink my water, lift weights 3 days a week, throw 4, in 8 years, I'm going to be about as good as I can be. Yes, obviously, there's more, obviously. but that's pretty good. And so for me, the first thing I do when I work with people now is I love that the decluttering craze that's been around for a while. The first thing I'm going to do is try to get you to declutter your life. If, you know, I'm going to ask you about, you know, the food that you have in your food cupboard, what's in your refrigerator. You know, what is it? What is your bedroom like? Is it quiet? You actually allow you have a TV in your bedroom? No, let's get that out of there. Are you sticking with me here, Brett?
I am. Yes.
Because once we kind of clear things up and kind of get a little bit, I hate being binary. But when it comes to certain things in life that are important, but are not your goal, turn those into shark habits. Okay, you're not going to get bored eating Viking enchiladas every Tuesday night. You're just not, because we did it for years, okay? Anything my wife cooks, we call Viking. Anything I cook, we call Irish. But here's the nice thing. You always have the ingredients you need. You know what to bring out for tomorrow night's defrosting, or sometimes I'd even make tomorrow night's meal. I'd make two meals in a row. And all of a sudden, what you notice is all this, and it's not, you're not getting free time here. You're not getting extra hours to the day. But what you're doing is you're freeing your brain up to focus on what's truly important. And in my case, it's eating the vegetables, getting the protein, drinking the water, getting a good night's sleep, exercising almost every day of the week. And if I do that day in, day out, magic will happen. So for me, that's the secret. Now, if we're going to talk about performance athletes, yeah, we're going to probably have a lifting component, a hill sprint component, technique component, a tactical component, a strategic component, whatever. But really, we're going to try to get that into a very simple pirate map. It is sort of a do this for the next 8 years list.
All right, so just to recap, pirate maps are your things like your daily habits, your daily routines, and your programming. You always do this, then that. And if you keep following these steps, they're kind of like recipes, right? If you keep following these steps over time, you get to the treasure of better health and fitness. And then shark habits, you make a decision once and you never have to make that decision again. If X, then Y. If it's Monday, you're doing this. If it's Wednesday, you're doing this workout. You don't have to keep figuring out what you're going to do. You don't have to reinvent the wheel every day. And part of this overall one bite and it's gone philosophy for you too is just do stuff now. If it needs doing, do it now.
Hey, Brett, what happened when you emailed me?
You emailed me back.
Because, see, I hate to say this to you, but you're a shark habit. I said yes, right? That was it. I had a binary decision. Yes, I'd love to speak with you again, Brett. Or no, I hate you. Go away. You got the yes. Fortunate for you. That's it. And so, if I get an email, if I open my email, I answer every single email. If a bill comes in the mail, I have a checkbook right here. I have stamps right there. I have envelopes right there. I don't write many checks anymore because, you know, everything's automated. By the way, automating your bill pay is the ultimate shark habit. I don't know how many bills I pay a month, but I don't think about any of them. It's all automatic. My money goes to my bank, and then we have a little system, and this magic device happens, and the bill comes in, and it gets paid. I don't think about any of that stuff. So to me, that's what the shark habits are. And then the pirate map is a very simple. Personally, I think you can do 5. Some people make pirate maps up to 8, but 5 is about right for me. If I stick to this 8-year, 10-year, 20-year to-do list, good things will happen.
Well, another thing that can help with consistency, so besides, okay, kind of distinguishing between shark habits, pyre maps, know where your pyre maps are, but you also talk about having a home gym or just equipment in your home. Could be a dumbbell, could be a kettlebell, can also help with just consistency as well.
Well, I don't even know. There's no nice way to say what I'm about to say because it comes off as kind of, I'm a jerk the second I say this. But for my business, COVID has been one of the best things that ever happened to me. And I know it's terrible, and I'm a horrible person for saying it, but it is the truth. And in fact, if you'll share with the listeners that code to get that discount at my site, we have this thing on the site called the workout generator. You put in what equipment you have at home and what goals you have, and then you get personalized workouts on how many days a week you want to work out, how long you want to work out, with what equipment you have and what you know. And then you can scale up and down, like in the squat family, go to goblet squats to overhead squats, for example. But if you have no equipment, that's still fine because body weight is a wonderful tool for a lot of people. If you have one dumbbell, okay, that's fine too. And you're right. I have a magnificent home gym, Brett. I mean, I've got 26 kettlebells, 3 Olympic bars, bumper plates, 2 different kinds of hip thrust machines, every farmer bar you can think of, all the Highland Game equipment, all the track and field throws equipment. Well, that's just part of it. And just, it just goes on and on and on. So for me to train at home, that's no problem at all. I've got everything you need. But gentle listener, comma, you might not, but you still have your body for body weight. You might have a couple of jugs of water. One of my clients realized that empty vinegar bottles are actually a pretty good weight to do a lot of things. I'm like, oh, I never thought of vinegar bottles. So, you know, you have this guy training and making progress with, you know, these discarded vinegar bottles. So it's the old cliche when I was young. It was very common when I was young. If there's a will, there's a way. And I still think, and to be honest with you, that is one of the most important things we need to teach young people. You know, if you have the determination, you'll figure out how to do it.
Well, in addition to determination and willpower, you also talk about one thing that can really help sort of supercharge your consistency is being a part, like doing your programming, doing your fitness goals with an intentional community. People who are...
Let's talk
about that.
Let's talk about intentional community. I'm a huge fan of this. So every day at my house at 9:30, literally people from all over the world show up and train with me. I want you to know something, Brett, and this is important for you to hear. I'm 63. Do you think I roll out of bed and say, boy, jeepers, I can't wait to work out again today? Do you think that? No. But what I have, Brett, is I have equipment and I have know-how. And the people who show up to my house have enthusiasm or interest. And what intentional community means is that we are going to come together as a community, and we are going to work together to better all of us. Now, sometimes it's worse than others, and I'll tell you when it's worse. If someone says, I'm getting ready for a kettlebell certification and I need help, you'll hear everyone kind of groan, because that means we are all going to be, you know, practicing kettlebell swings and snatches and all the rest, which is very tiring. If someone like myself right now, I got an Olympic lifting meet in about a month. So I'm getting ready for this Olympic lifting meet. But at the same time, at my age, I need to do hypertrophy and mobility. So when my group is doing hip thrusts and goblet squats and deficit deadlifts, I'm snatching and cleaning and jerking. If someone's interested, like Jeff Hemingway was here during the summer, and he and I would Olympic lift together while the group was doing the rest of the workout. But we were all together as one during the warm-up period, the original strength, some of the hypertrophy work, certainly the mobility work, and then the walk after. So what you try to do is you just say, let's come together. When I first moved to California, I've since moved back to Utah, Dan Martin called me up one day and he said, you know, I found a park, let's go work out. So Dan brought egg salad sandwiches. I brought the one kettlebell that I had was able to save. Some other people brought TRXs when they first showed up and kettlebells and mats. And I would look around at the assorted pieces of equipment we had, and I'd say, okay, here's what our workout's going to be. Now, if somebody was supposed to bring suspension trainers and forgot, well, that meant we were all going to have to go around that. Or if someone was supposed to bring water and didn't, well, we were all going to go thirsty that day. So what you try to do with intentional community, Brett, is get a buy-in by every single member. And each of them becomes an important cog in the success of the entire group. I think it is the most elegant way of training I've ever done in my whole career.
We're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. Texas Pete is the sauce that allows you to sauce like you mean it. Each Texas Pete sauce is packed with a bold, balanced flavor. The signature tanginess is what makes it a legendary hot sauce that can be used on just about anything. You're definitely going to want to try every flavor. The original hot sauce has a famous secret blend of fermented peppers. Their hotter hot sauce is 3 times hotter than the original, and it's not for the faint of heart. They also got a flavor called Sabor by Texas Pete, adds authentic Mexican flavor, and they also have a dust dry seasoning that matches the flavor of the original hot sauce in a flavorful dry rub. But the flavor that I've been enjoying lately is the Chop Sriracha sauce. It's got chili, garlic, and some tropical tangy notes. It's really good. I love putting on my eggs. Texas Pete, sauce like you mean it. Visit TexasPete.com and use the store locator to find Texas Pete products as well as purchase sauces and get recipe inspiration. And you can use promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off at TexasPete.com. That's PODCAST24. For 20% off at TexasPete.com. Check out the Sriracha Cha Sauce. It's wedding season, and while weddings are all about the bride and groom, they're also a chance for you to look your best. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million, even though suits start at just $499. It's easier than ever to be the best dressed with Indochino. Order your custom suits now and they'll be ready for wedding season. The process of customizing a suit on Indochino, very easy to do. It's also a lot of fun. I've talked about my navy blue suit I've gotten from Indochino. First off, you can decide how the jacket is, how you want the pockets on the jacket to be, how you want the lapels, the vent on the back, the lining on the pants. You can decide you want pleats or no pleats. I went no pleats on my pants on this one. And then you do the measuring process. You'll need someone to help you, but they have this very easy to follow guide. Send that all in a few weeks, you have a custom made-to-measure suit sent directly to your door, and you're going to pay about the same price for a suit that you'd pay for an off-the-rack suit at a department store. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code MANLINESS to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code MANLINESS. Check it out today. If you're like me, you've probably signed up for subscription services, but then you forgot about them. I'm talking about newsletters, streaming services, things like that. Well, with the personal finance app Rocket Money, it can help you find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. It can also monitor your spending and help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I had a chance to use Rocket Money, connected it to my checking account, and it found a bunch of subscription services that I forgot about. I was able to cancel them, and I was able to save a lot of money because the stuff adds up. Besides canceling your unwanted subscriptions, Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you, up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/manliness. That's rocketmoney.com/manliness, rocketmoney.com/manliness. All right, picture that thing you've always wanted to learn. Now picture learning it from the person who's literally the best at it in the world. That's what you get with Masterclass. This year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Masterclass offers over 180 world-class instructors, and a lot of them are former AOM podcast guests. So for example, you can learn The Art of Negotiation from Chris Voss, we had him on the podcast, Leadership from Jocko Willink, another AOM podcast guest, Writing from Malcolm Gladwell, another AOM podcast guest. You name it, Masterclass has it. With Masterclass, you get unlimited access to intimate one-on-one classes with the world's best. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. So I did the masterclass with Chris Voss on negotiation. Very well done. He talks about tactical empathy, how to mirror somebody so that you can develop rapport with them. So if you enjoyed that podcast I did with Chris Voss several years ago about his book, Never Split the Difference, you're going to love this masterclass. And right now, AOM listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/AOM. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/AOM. Masterclass.com/AOM. Check out the negotiation class with Chris Voss. And now back to the show.
All right. So recap there for consistency. It sounds like make shark habits, also have pirate maps, but then also find a contextual community that can help sort of everyone buys in, everyone depends on each other, and that can help encourage you to keep going, even when you don't feel like going, because you're like, exactly, that guy depends on me.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a musician, I mean, it's nice that you play in your basement all the time, but I guarantee you will improve if you join an orchestra or a band.
Well, let's talk about this quadrant that I came across in your writing. You got so much stuff out there.
Oh,
What I love about what you do too is you have these, like, I love these quadrants you create because it really helps you think about things that are easy to remember.
Yeah.
So one quadrant is how you can approach your diet and fitness. And the quadrant's this: you can have a reasonable workout, tough diet, reasonable workout, reasonable diet, a tough workout, reasonable diet, or tough workout, tough diet. So what do you think, like, for just like people who aren't even doing anything, I mean, what are they doing? What quadrant are they in here?
Well, here's the problem. You know, one day you wake up fat and you decide, and that's literally what I'm told all the time. I woke up fat one day. Well, there could have been a process ahead of that, but okay. Most people think that they can just light it up and go, the tough workout, tough diet. Now, when I do workshops with this, Brett, one of the first things I do is I ask the people, you know, what is a tough diet? Well, certainly I'm a big fan of fasting. I think there's great value to it. I like intermittent fasting. Hardest diet I've ever done was the velocity diet. That's 6 protein shakes a day. Ask me, Brett, what else?
What else?
Yeah, there's nothing. You drink 6 protein shakes a day for 28 days. Folks, that's a tough diet. That's a tough one. People think they can do the velocity diet and the Soviet squat workout. I did the Soviet squat workout years ago in the front squat. And one of the days calls for 6 sets of 6. And at the time, I needed to use about 315, 325. And when I racked the bar, Mark asked me, what's wrong? I go, I got to do that 5 more times. It was brutal. 6 sets of 6 with 315 in the front squat. Oh, people think that they can do the Soviet squat program and the velocity diet at the same time. And that's literally impossible. So the interesting thing, though, Brett, people seem to understand, you know, professionals in this field, personal trainers, coaches, they know what tough diets are and they know what tough workouts are. But when I follow up and I say, okay, folks, what's a reasonable workout? I mean, dude, it's crickets. I don't know. What's a reasonable diet? Eat carbohydrates, protein, and fat. Oh, that's really insightful. Thank you, sir. When we get to the other side, the reasonable, where people should live, I would say 8 to 10 months a year, people don't even know what reasonable means anymore. To me, reasonable is when you do push, pull, hinge, squat, loaded carry in that 15 to 25 total rep range with loads that, you know, you can, you know, that you're building up on. That's 3 sets of 8, 5 sets of 5 with a reasonable weight. 3 days a week, you have a day for mobility only. And then another day where you do something long, a long walk, a long bike, a long hike. There, that's reasonable. Did that sound reasonable?
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah. What's a reasonable diet? Well, I think at every meal you should have vegetables. Boy, does that throw people off. Vegetables at breakfast? There is no, it's not in the Constitution. It's okay with the UN. You can eat vegetables at every meal if you'd like. Vegetables and protein at every meal, drink a lot of water. That's what you should be doing the bulk of the time. Now, there are times, like, for example, if you want to lock it up for, you're going to go down to spring break and you want to show off everything, that's when I would tighten up on the diet. So that's maybe where you'd want to have a tough diet for maybe a month, 3 weeks to 6 weeks. 6 weeks would be the top end. A month is usually about right, where you lock the diet down. Now, if you want to go low whatever or do whatever, it doesn't matter. But we all know at some level what that means. We want to cut back on the total calories. We probably want to cut back on some stupid food. Okay, so reasonable workouts. I'd still like you to lift 3 days a week, go for that long walk, do the mobility day, and then have the tough diet. There's other times where you'd really like to maybe light it up, especially if you're an athlete, with some tough workouts. Maybe you're in an ultimate frisbee league or, I don't know, discus throw, I don't know, where maybe the month before you get going, you really want to amp up the number of workouts. But to do that, I think you should keep your diet extremely reasonable. Tough workouts, reasonable diet, before you do something physical. Like you're going to go climb Mount Olympus or Mount Rainier or something like that. You really got to up your training, but I would keep very reasonable in the diet.
All right. So mostly you're going to stay in reasonable workout, reasonable diet, occasionally dip into reasonable workout, tough diet, or tough diet, reasonable workout.
Right. Right. I don't think you can ever actually do tough.
That makes sense.
Now I have a buddy who was getting ready for the Mr. Utah contest, and I helped him. And it's still one of my favorite memories. When his partner asked me to help him, I thought, oh, you want me to help because of my genius No, basically he wanted me to help him by picking him up between sets and putting him back on the machine because he was at about zero calories doing very long workouts. I've never seen anybody else ever do this before. Boy, he looked good under the lights. He was just ripped to shreds. But folks, you might think you can cut like a bodybuilder. Hate them or love bodybuilders. Watching those guys cut is very, I mean, it's impressive. It is impressive. And the one famous bodybuilding coach told me one time, oh yeah, it takes about 14 contests to figure out how you should prep. And I'm thinking about my buddy going, he had to do that 13 more times to figure it out. Yeah, that's not the sport for me. I'm going to just keep throwing the discus and Olympic lifting. Yeah. Holy cow. There are people who can do it. They're not many.
Well, so going back to this idea of like reasonable workout, like you said, I think that can contribute to people giving up on exercise because they're not reasonable. They overcomplicate things. They make things too hard. And you're a big proponent of keeping it as super easy and simple as possible. And that reasonable workout you gave, just a few movements, and you weren't destroying yourself. Like you weren't like going to failure every set. It was just get stronger, right. Go for a walk.
Yeah. I mean, my math skills aren't what they used to be, but if you lift 3 days a week, it comes out to like 156 workouts a year, I think. If you work out 156 times a year and they're reasonable and repeatable, you're going to be miles ahead of those clowns who just show up the first week of January.
Well, so like one of the programs you have, it's a simple one that you've written about. It's like the 1-2-3 program where it's just like you start like with one rep and then do all the movements like squat, deadlift, press, and then it's two reps, then three reps, and then you go 3-2-1, and that's it. Like you're not killing yourself.
Yeah.
You just every rep is fast, and you feel strong. And it's a clean rep.
Yeah. And it's, so for example, you and I are going to do presses. Now there's two ways to do it. You can do 3-2-1 or 1-2-3. It just kind of depends on what you like, but these are called ladders. I got, I think Steve Shafley is the master of these, but I'm going to do two rounds of 1-2-3. So I put on a load that I know I can do 5-4. I do it for one. Then I look at you and go, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Then I do two. That's it. Yeah. Then I do three. That's it. Then I do one. That was easy. Right. Because to get strong, you need to train your nervous system. So you want to repeat. It's like learning to type, as I always explain to people. When you first type, you go click, 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 click. But pretty soon you figure out what those letters are and you go, that's the nervous system figuring out what you want to do. Well, weightlifting starts off with the nervous system kind of catching up to what you want. And then there's that wonderful phrase Rob Wolf uses, the hormonal cascade, when the body says, we've got to get whatever's going on, we've got to get bigger and leaner and better. And then whoosh, that whoosh happens and all the magic happens. I think the best thing most people could do is just get stronger. You know, I'm 63, Brett, and I'm still the person you call when you move or you got a couch or a refrigerator to move, because strong people tend to be pretty helpful when it's time to move stuff. And I think if you get to a certain level of strength, a lot of magic can happen. And that magic is you can make yourself more flexible, you can push through your mobility, and of course, you build up some lean body mass that also counters the adipose tissue, the fat.
And again, like this is reasonable. Like I think people have this idea with workouts, you have to like feel like you're destroyed after a workout. right? Or you can't, like, you know, you have your legs, you can't walk after leg day. Yeah. And you're kind of like, no, you actually have this idea. It's like easy strength.
Yeah.
Right? Workouts should, they should, you should feel enthusiastic. You should feel invigorated afterwards, not yeah. like you've been completely destroyed.
Now, you know, Brett, I mean, there is a time for those. I mean, hey, I also tell people you should be able to do 50 reps with your body weight in the back squat. And then they go, what? Oh yeah. I mean, but it's that June of 1979 when you try to get your back squat high reps in. I didn't say it was for the 80s, 90s, aughts, and teens of the new millennium. There's a time, and there is great value in having those workouts where you can't climb up a flight of stairs. But that's not what you do week in, week out, month in, month out, because you can't, you really can't do it.
All right, so you don't want to push yourself really hard all the time because that's not sustainable. But if you're having trouble getting started with working out or you don't know what to do, something that could help is take on a specific challenge. You've come up with a lot of challenges over your career. Some of them, a lot of them have gone viral, and they've become viral again in the past, I would say, few months. And one that's come up again, I think it's because of COVID, is the 10,000 kettlebell swing challenge. So let's talk about it. When did you develop it? Why did you develop it? And what does it look like?
Well, it's funny because I never write an article unless I've done it, ever. So I got a call from Testosterone Nation, you know, tnation.com. And the owner was really wanted me to do more articles on kettlebells. And he threw out this thing, why don't you do like a 10,000 swing challenge? And I said, well, that's a great idea. Of course, what's the problem, Brett, when I said yes?
You've never done it before and you don't know what it's going
to
be like.
I hadn't done it before, so I had to. So Mike Brown, who still trains with me, first day we picked up the 24 kilo bells and did 1,000 swings the first workout. Next day we come in and we're like, well, that was a good one. I get up to 800 swings and I say to Mike, I can't move. My back didn't, it wasn't like I needed a spinal adjustment or anything. My back was so full of blood, I couldn't move. And then we kind of said, you know, 1,000 a day is too many. Let's try 500. So on day three, we did 500. Now we had to make up one workout with 200 to fill in the other one. But, and so we finished the first 10,000 swing challenge. And we were, I mean, I looked at my journals and my notes and it was all over the place, Brett. It was stupid. And so, okay, let's try. Poor Mike, you got to feel for the poor guy. Let's try this. And so I came up with these other ideas. And finally, I settled on what the original article was. You would do a set of 10 and then you know, set of 10 and do like 3 push-ups, a set of 15, do 2 push-ups, a set of 25, do 1 push-up, and then that long set of 50 and, you know, and then rest. And each day of the week, you'd change the exercise. Push-up, goblet squat, pull-up. It's something that complemented the swing. Oh, and one day, nothing, just swings. And that was a good idea, and that's what I published first. But very quickly, I got so much feedback that I realized, yeah, I can do 50 swings with a 24-kilo kettlebell, but I'm kind of, I'm not, if you could just reach across the microphone and pat me on the back, I'd appreciate that. But I hate to say it, I'm a big engine, and I know how to swing a kettlebell. So the 50 swings was tough, but I could do it. So then we came up with this 15-35 idea where after the set of 15, you would do a strength movement or a hypertrophy movement. And after the set of 35, a complementary mobility movement. And boy, I came up with 6 different programs to support that. And I still think, Brett, honestly, that might be the best way to do it. Another way to do it that I love, this is probably, okay, I think the 15-35 with mixing the hypertrophy mobility, that's really good because you cover so many bases. But my favorite way to do it is I pick up a bell, I do 16 swings with it, my grip kind of goes, I put it down. Next, I pick it up and I go from 17 to 35. Okay. Next, I pick it up again, I go 35 to 40 because something came up. Then I go 40 to 60. And you just build yourself up to the 500 swings. Personally, for the way my brain works, that's my favorite method. And at the end of the 20 workouts, you've accumulated 10,000 swings. Most people report real gains in their grip. Many people report fat loss, very common fat loss. And a lot of people say, weirdest thing, Everyone says I look better, but all I did was swing for 20 days. Yeah, well, you did. No, you didn't just swing. You did 500 swings. And good things came from that. So that's kind of the long story. And so I've written two full articles on the 10,000 Swing Challenge. And I'm still surprised how much it still seems to resonate with people. By the way, I would consider the 10,000 Swing Challenge in the area of a tough workout. So while you're doing that, I would recommend having a reasonable eating program. One time I tried it doing a modified thing that Dan and Mary Eads, the protein power people, had. So I was doing 3 protein shakes a day and eating a dinner, okay? And I did the 10,000 Swing Challenge doing that. But honestly, the wheels started falling off. The bumper came off pretty quickly on that. That might have, you need to eat on this program, Brett, normally.
And I imagine there's been a resurgence. I mean, because, like, yeah, people have been stuck at home. They might just have a kettlebell. It's all they got. And so I'll just do this thing because it doesn't take much space and I can get it done in my apartment.
And you know what? A lot of people are discovering that home training, like, I've known this my whole career. I've been training at home. Obviously, I use gyms. Obviously, I mean, there's no question about that. But since 1971, I've always had my own home gym. Actually, it'd be a little bit earlier. I only started writing in my diary in March of 1971, but I had been lifting at home before that. It's when I got my adjustable incline bench that I started recording workouts. And I'm glad I did, because I can tell you what I was doing almost every day of my life since March of 1971. What's interesting about the home workouts, and a lot of your listeners who kind of move to that, a lot of the excuses get knocked out of the way. And there's also a weird kind of, since I'm not being distracted by, Brad, I can't say this without coming off as kind of a jerk, but I like to win the weight room. I like everybody to know that I'm the strongest person there. Okay. I'm a horrible person. I just said it. Now, when I'm training at home, I just do the workout. If the workout calls for 3 sets of 8 in the overhead squat, that's what I do. I don't get cute. I don't add more. I do what the workout says to do. And that is a real gift of home training. And the fact that you save all that time in commuting, which I'm not sure where you live exactly, but if, you know, even if your gym is 10 minutes away, that's 20 minutes out of your day commuting versus, you know, and I got to tell you, in 20 minutes, you can get a pretty good little workout in. Heck, 20 minutes is a lot of time. Yeah.
With the going back to the 10,000 kettlebell swing challenge, how do you figure out which weight to use, like how much weight to use on that?
Well, I have this really highly scientific formula that a few people have actually tried it. It's in the articles, but honestly, in full candor, if you're a male, use a 24. If you're a female, you probably should use the 16 kilo, 12 if you're truly light. That's usually what it comes out to.
Well, another piece of equipment that you can use. I mean, so a lot of people with COVID, they've been trying to build home gyms, but because everyone's been trying to do it at the same time, like gym equipment is hard to come by, but people have been able to get their hands on some dumbbells or even just a single dumbbell. And you say that's enough. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, so they can go to your site, they can kind of generate a workout with that, but like kind of give us an idea. If someone just had a single dumbbell, what could they do with that for a workout?
Well, a single dumbbell, that's kind of, I mean, in 1991, I had one of the world's best gyms to train at, the Upper Limit here in Murray. And then one day they closed. I mean, we had like 9 Olympic platforms and bumper plates everywhere, and they just shut down. And so I had a rusty bar, 2 35-pound plates, 2 25-pound plates. But then someone found an old Olympic dumbbell that I could slide those 25s on. And when I first saw kettlebell snatches, I started doing dumbbell snatches. Well, from the dumbbell snatches, that's when I invented waiter walks. That's where you walk with the bell over your head, right? So I would do these dumbbell snatches. And then when I got tired, I would walk, you know. So let's say I could do 15 dumbbell snatches. I mean, it was 61 pounds. So it's a good amount of weight. Walk a little bit, put the weight down, switch hands. You can also do, with a dumbbell, press, 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 press. And then we do a variation when we do our heavy hands called the curl and press. And I got to tell you, Mike was telling me the other day about this. These guys online, they take a light bell, be more like a 10 or 15 or 20, and they curl and press for a couple hundred reps. Now, I don't know if that's good or bad for you, but that's a lot of work, man. And sometimes that's all you need. With the single dumbbell, I mean, I would just go online and look up, you know, single dumbbell workouts. They're all over the place. I have a whole book based on single kettlebell workouts. It's going to be the same thing. Goblet squat, a fundamental swing, a curl and press, the snatch, waiter walks. You can do suitcase carries as one-hander walks. Yeah, there's plenty to do.
A lot to do.
Yeah, and remember, it's the will. If you use your imagination, you know, don't let the limitations bother you. I mean, so many times in my life, I've been, and I got to tell you, I think this is my best coaching moments. Is, and I have a phrase when I coach people: deprivation increases capacity. When I was coaching at Judge Memorial, we didn't have a discus ring. We didn't have a field to throw in, yet we had 9 straight state discus champions because I innovated. We found a big wall and threw power balls into a wall. So if you only have something, don't think of it as a bad thing. Think of it as a boon. Think of it as I have the opportunity to use my brain to increase my training. That's I would hate to say it. It's, yeah, I'm going to say it. It's a gift. It's an odd style of gift.
So another exercise, if you don't even have any equipment, that's really effective to getting strong is the pull-up.
Oh, and love the
you pull-up. You say that every man should be able to do 5 pull-ups. There's a lot of guys who can't even do 1. So, I mean, how do you work your way up to doing more pull-ups if you can just barely do 1?
Sure. Yeah, I have a whole program. It's in my new book, Attempts. By the way, folks, when I say this, I'm not selling the stuff to you. I'm just saying this is where you can find it. It's in my new book, Attempts, and it's also in the Dan John University site. It's called the Post-Deployment Program. And I came up with this working with our elite military forces. Oh, and I love it, by the way. I love this program a lot. The first month, week 1, okay, week 1, you hang as long as you can, a straight arm hang, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, for example, okay? Week 2, you do 2 rounds of straight arm hang, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Week 3, you do 3 rounds. And week 4, you do 4 rounds. On the 5th week, week 1, you do the bent arm hang. Okay, either the chin-up grip or the pull-up grip. And, you know, week 1 once, week 2 twice, week 3 3 times, week 4 4 times. Here's the funny thing. There's a thing we joke about in my field all the time called middle-aged pull-up syndrome, okay? And that's the pain, and I can point into it right now, right in that elbow when you try to you try to kill a set of pull-ups that you were not ready for, okay? Well, by hanging both straight arm and bent arm with your chin is over the top, your body figures out how to do it. And then month 3, Brett, here's what you strive to do is that on month 3, hang for 30 seconds and then do 1 pull-up. Now, for those people who have never done a pull-up, I want to guarantee it because I'm no Joe Namath in Super Bowl 3. But if by the 3rd month, with all that hanging and all that time, your grip has gone through the roof and your specific strength has gone through the roof, and then pop up and see if you get some pull-ups. I had a guy who didn't follow my sage advice, and he decided, about the 6th week of what I told you to do, he was going to test himself on pull-ups. He had never done 1. How many does he do on week 6 of this program? He does 5 pull-ups because hanging is probably more important for most people who can't do pull-ups than actually practicing the pull-up.
No, hanging is like one of those overlooked movements. I mean, it's not a movement, but most of us, because of our office jobs that we have, we're hunched over a computer all the time. And, yeah, you know, your shoulder is like meant to go over your head, but we never give it an opportunity to do that and hanging can let you do that.
in one of my recent YouTubes, I give people a 1 minute daily mobility thing, and it's 30 seconds of hanging and 30 seconds of sitting in the bottom of the goblet squat. And if all you got is 1 minute, do your, okay, here's your 3 minutes to somewhat happiness. Okay. 1 minute of going over your to-do list and making sure you have all the phone numbers and everything else you need for the day. A one moment meditation, 30 seconds of hanging, 30 seconds of the goblet squat bottom position, go off in your day. If you can't give me 3 minutes, first, I think you're lying to me, but that 3 minutes, that will be a game changer for a lot of you listening.
Well, another thing you talk about throughout all your work is you encourage people to get outside do their workouts. Why have you long been an advocate for that?
I don't know. Maybe because I was a discus thrower and you can only throw outside, I guess. I think, you know, Brett, I think when you go outside, the rules change a little bit. You know, if you and I we're going to go, I'm right near a big park called Wheeler. Okay. So you and I we're going to go over to Wheeler Farm and we're going to walk, we're going to put ankle weights on and we're going to walk around the park. Well, once we get there, which is, you know, a half a mile from here, we start walking and, oh, look, there's some birds. And pretty soon, and by the way, I don't want you to have your earbuds on. We're just going to talk. And, oh, there's a bird, a sage jay, I think they're called here in Utah. Oh, look, there's a Cooper hawk. Oh, there's a squirrel. Yay. And what you begin to notice is that what you thought was going to be a 30-minute walk is an hour and 10-minute walk. And then we got to walk back that extra half an hour. When you go outside, we become more playful. And I think we become a little bit more human. And that's a good thing in my view.
Yeah, that's something you've talked about. Like that's an important part of health. Maybe not fitness, right? Fitness, you're fit to do something. You're fit to lift weight. You're fit to run. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for overall health, you need that engagement with outdoors, engagement with people that makes you feel good.
Yeah, let's go through a couple of words real fast, okay? So the word health, I use Maffetone's definition, the optimal interplay of the human organs. So, and you find out about your health through doctor visits, through going to the dentist, getting those blood tests done, that kind of thing. Fitness is the ability to do a task. And this is where we get ruined in my industry because people run with the word fitness too much, you know? They try to make it, oh, if you can't, you know, do 10 muscle-ups, you're not fit. No, muscle-up is a test. The third word is longevity, and that's both quantitative and qualitative discussions. People in my family don't live long. That's just a fact. I said that at a workshop last year, and someone came up to me after and said, you know, you shouldn't talk like that. Didn't know at the time that my brother had just died. So the next day, same workshop, I said, this is breaking my heart. My brother died last night, you know? And the final one is what I do, which my career is all about, which is performance. And performance is when someone says your name and you step up and perform. And the mistake we get sometimes, and by the way, the tools of performance can help you in fitness. The secrets of longevity can help you in performance. These four intertwine a lot. But you also have to keep them separate. Otherwise, you get a little confused. Like, for example, saying that the fittest person on earth won the Ironman triathlon. Well, that's not true. He's fit for the Ironman triathlon. He can't throw the discus 244 feet. The fittest discus thrower of all time is Jürgen Schultz. He threw 243. Well, someone raised their hand and goes, well, Dan, that's a weird definition. No, your definition is screwed up because it's a task. And if the task is, you know, I don't know, but if you meet a guy who's 106 and he became a father this year, well, first off, God bless you. And number two, he might not be fit to teach the kid how to drive, but he was fit for the task of becoming a father. You follow that? And I think people miss that. Oh, one other thing, Brett, before I go, whenever I go over those four, a hand goes up and says, what about fat loss? And I'm always like, ugh. Okay. Now, of course, the fat loss discussions, which
Yeah, that's what everyone wants. That's why most people are like, I'm going to exercise. I got the spare tire. Want to lose some weight. Got to get rid of it.
And fat loss mostly happens in the kitchen. And I quote this all the time, but years ago, a woman raised her hand at one of Art Devaney's workshops, and she says, how do you get rid of fat? And he famously said, don't get fat in the first place. And I think one of the things you can do with your site, Brett, and I'm not telling you what to do, but having honest conversations about the teenage and 20-somethings buying into, you don't want to put on that freshman 40. You know, you don't want to do the pizza and beer diet. You really, it's, I'm 63, and little Danny did a nice job staying in fairly good shape his whole life. And I have to applaud him for it because it allows me to do certain things at 63 that I otherwise would have him do other things at this age to undo the damage of my idiocy of my youth.
Well, don't get fat in the first place. Let's say you are fat. It's basically a lot of it's nutrition. Anything with exercise that you can do to help with that?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Now, what's going to happen when you go to a workshop, and it happens quite a bit, and I deal with this all the time. Someone is going to say, the nutritionist will say, fat loss is 95% nutrition. And by the way, that's true up to a point. They did a very interesting study. Now, the study is still being replicated because it's new, but they had people who averaged 10,000 steps a day for no reason, just cut back. This is the study. You're only going to walk 2,000 steps a day. Within weeks, Brett, these people who had been active, in fact, they had to stop the study because they were already sliding into type 2 diabetes. They were already falling into some other blood profile issues. It was a very short amount of time. So yeah, on paper, what we do in the gym is only 5% fat loss. Okay, I get that. However, not exercising instantly almost turns you into a person with issues with blood profiles, insulin, and all the other hormones. So what you need to do if you wake up one day and you find yourself fat is you want to do some hypertrophy work, okay? You want to do some bodybuilding. You really want to. You want to do some mobility work because mobility also assists you in keeping things going. Okay, so the basic idea is just 3 to 5 times a week, do a mix of basic hypertrophy is the bodybuilding numbers in the strength world. Okay, so that's 15 to 25, maybe 30 total reps. That's 3 sets of 8, 5 sets of 5, 5 sets of 3. Push, pull, hinge, squat, load, carry. Do mobility exercises between each set. That's what I recommend. And then the moment you get done with that, go for a walk. I use heavy hands. I put ankle weights around my ankles, and I take these 3-pound weights. I go for a half an hour to 45 minutes. You certainly could go longer, but what happens is what you're trying to do is free up fatty acids, and you do that in the weight workout. And then that gentle walk after, your body then uses the free fatty acids to eat, and it's win-win. But really what's going to happen is it's going to be on the nutrition side. You cannot be getting calories from liquids. So, I mean, coffee, tea, water, you know, I would suggest vegetables at every meal, protein at every meal. And it's worked a million times and it's going to work again. If you go to Dan John University, that's the workout, the fat loss workout generator. We'll plug all that in for you. On the nutrition side, I would add one other thing, if you don't mind, Brett. I just cannot believe, the more I read and read, the destruction of the enteric system, which we also call the gut biome, through antibiotics, through all the stuff that's in certain foods. I guess some of the sweeteners, the artificial sweeteners, are just hard on the gut biome. I strongly recommend eating sauerkraut, fermented foods, once or twice a day. I eat it now at every meal. I make my own sauerkraut. I make my own pickled vegetables because the fermented food can be such a game changer to build up that gut biome. Everyone makes fun of it. My daughters call it the butt biome, which it makes me mad because I say butt biome more often now than I say gut biome. But I really think it's a missing link for many of us. It's really something people should consider.
Well, Dan, this has been a great conversation. So I guess people can go to Dan John University, find out more information about what you're doing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, absolutely. And don't forget, listeners, there's a discount code for you, Art of Man. And that'll give you, instead of $29 a month, that'll give you 3 months for $29, which is a pretty good deal considering the number of things you can download. We've got to have almost 20 plus books on there and tons of articles. Great forum, a really good forum. I know I'm selling it, but I only sell things I believe in. So there you go. Okay.
Awesome. Well, Dan John, thanks for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Absolute pleasure. Let's do this sooner than later next time. Okay.
Sounds good. My guest today was Dan John. You can find out more information about his work at his website, danjohnuniversity.com. Also use that discount code, Art of Man, give you that discount that he mentioned in the podcast. And you can also check out our show notes, aom.is/simplestrength, where you find links to resources where you delve deeper into this topic. Well, that wraps up another edition of the AOM Podcast. Check out our website at artofmanliness.com where you can find our podcast archives, as well as thousands of articles we've written over the years. And if you'd like to enjoy ad-free episodes of the AOM Podcast, you can do so on Stitcher Premium. Head over to stitcherpremium.com, sign up, use code manliness at checkout for a free month trial. Once you're signed up, download the Stitcher app on Android or iOS, and you start enjoying ad-free episodes of the AOM Podcast. And if you haven't done so already, I'd appreciate if you take 1 minute to give us a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. It helps out a lot. And if you've done that already, thank you. Please consider sharing the show with a friend or family member who you would think we get something out of it. As always, thank you for the continued support. Until next time, it's Brett McKay reminding you not only listen to the AOM Podcast, but put what you've heard into action.